Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Victory Monday, Reaction Monday, right here live on Sports Radio 610 on The Drive. Remember, it is Monday. We're off early as the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans. It will start 5 o'clock right after we're done. So make sure you stay tuned to listen to Coach Fresh Off. Maybe I have to go look at that playoff score against the Browns. I think this is the most lopsided win they've had. 44-10. I think that's the biggest ass kicking that they've had in the D'Amico era. It seems like.
I think I heard somebody saying that it's the worst ass kicking that Harbaugh's taken in Baltimore
since 2008.
Oh, was that when it was 2008?
That's how long he's been there. Someone texted and said, "Ron, you made me feel old." He's been there 18 years. Yeah, he's rolling on a decade.
In 2008? What decade? In 2008?
Two decades, excuse me. Yeah.
In 2008, they had a worse loss. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, it's worst loss since 2008.
Whew. How is that running room?
Yeah, about that. Yeah, whole left side got caved in.
Jesus.
Yeah, Buffalo defense. All right, let's do this. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in. There's a lot of places people can go when you look at players of the game. Because when you win 44-10, and the only touchdown they give, you know, the game's really over. There's going to be a lot of good things. You throw four touchdown passes to four different people, and so many people have an impact in the game. There's a lot of places that you can go. All right, so. Clint, we can jump in with you. Who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game, by the way? Man Eye Institute, see life better.
Ron, it's hard for me. I hate to be repetitive on the show, which I don't mind. I don't mind beating a dead horse. Everybody knows that. But I can't go anywhere but C.J. Stroud. I mean, I want to go Jalen Petrie just to be a little different. Jalen Petrie had a hell of a game. I'm a big, big fan of Jalen Petrie. Two picks, man. I got to go with C.J. Stroud, man. I mean, again, 85% completion. And most impressively, just, again, because now I think we know. Like, I think year one with C.J. Stroud, Ron, it was literally happenstance. Like, I think it was accidental that C.J. Stroud played the brand. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying he's not talented. Obviously, he led the league in yards per game and the fewest interception because he's crazy talented. But that was an outcome of, you know, I think an organization trying to protect a young quarterback that didn't know about NFL football, trying to protect a young quarterback that had a bunch of injuries at the offensive line, trying to protect a quarterback that had a bunch of wide receivers get hurt. And the outcome just happened to be, and that was a hell of a deal, just happened to be a crazy combination of stats. But I think by nature, he wants to be a drive the football down the field. I'm a ball placement specialist. When somebody says that, they're not talking about the quick game, the screen game. They're talking about laying it in the bucket down the field. So I think by nature, he is a drive the ball down the field guy. For him to commit to, you know, what Nick Caley and what everybody wants him to be and wholeheartedly commit the way that he did this Sunday, I think it's a tell sign that he's pot committed. Damn it, he is just pot committed. And so the box scores are tremendous. The completion percentage is unbelievable. Spreading the football around the field, the dead eye accurate in the red zone, the shots that landed, it's all beautiful. And I can't go anywhere but C.J. Stroud. I gave him an A for his grade, and the only way it could be better is if the opponent would have been better. It was out of his control. So I got to go with C.J. Stroud for my Man I Institute player of the game.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud. Someone said Clinton got it right. Yeah, he did. He was fantastic. Someone texted in, got to be Petrie, created offense with his defense. Yeah, I mean, the two turnovers he got, and he was so aggressive. D'Amico talked about it, how he is aggressive around the line of scrimmage everywhere. And then, like, one of the signature moments of the game, and yes, J.J. Watt is right. He kind of walked it back a little bit and said he's been in those situations where he's been chipped. But when Jalen Petrie put Derrick Henry on his ass, mm-hmm. off his feet and on his ass, no, didn't rap, nothing, just put him on his ass. And I mean, and the ass kicking was well in, into its full force by that point. But still, that was a continuing message that they were sending, and that Jalen Petrie just no fear. Yeah, I know how big you are. I see your commercials, all that. But he came in there and laid his ass out. I thought it was fantastic for him. So yes, I could see where people on the text line and YouTube and Twitch are rolling there. Clint, I'm gonna go here. This has been the story since this thing started, and I got players of the game. I got Ursary, Scruggs, Andrews, Big Ed, and Titus Howard. That offensive line up front, maybe a couple of times where they had some miscommunication and they let something go through. But besides that, man, the reason why, as I said earlier, is, hell, man, he could have had a blindfold, Nick Caley, and just stuck his hand in a box and just pulled plays out, and they would have worked. A major point of that is because the Texans' offensive line played so well and dominated up front against that defensive line that they were able to do whatever the hell they wanted to. They could do play action. They could do handoffs. They could do whatever they wanted to because the offensive line allowed them to be able to do so. So, to me, those guys have been a huge topic of conversation. And when they have struggled, we have pointed that out. But they were really, really dominant. Not just good yesterday. We talked about it before. If they could just be average, that'll work. They were dominant yesterday and allowed Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud to do whatever the hell they wanted. That Christian Kirk play-action pass, I mean, he had so much time to sit back there and just wait for him to come as wide open as he wanted to, and that happened multiple times, as J.J. Watt mentioned on the telecast. So I give it to the offensive line. Those boys up front were dominant.
Yeah, look, I think it's well-deserved, man. I mean, it's funny how this thing works, right? And I'm not putting everything on CJ, but I've been beating this dead horse, and to see it come to fruition, I think it's worth pointing out. It's funny how when the quarterback decides to take that quick stuff and to protect himself and to protect the offensive line, how everybody quits bagging on the offensive line, how all of a sudden those guys start playing a little bit better. Yep. And so it's just so refreshing at this point to see, because this is the way that offensive line is intended to be played. Right, is, you know, just generally speaking, there's teams that I think are one-offs and do it differently, but like this is the way it's meant to be played. Right, this game should come down to, right, for the Texans, can they run block, and let's say five times a game can you give your quarterback an extra second back there? That's it. Everything else should be damn near a cakewalk. Right, now you're going to run into opponents where you got to be better than that.
Yeah,
but generally speaking, the offensive coordinator and the quarterback for this team, they should strive for playing a brand of quarterback where the ball gets out quick enough other than about five or six plays a game. You know what I mean? And then it boils down to, can you get push in a run game? That's literally what it could be. It should be. We should be zeroing in on the pass protection five or six snaps a game. That's it. And instead, we've been watching a year plus two or three games.
Every one of them.
Oh, yeah. Hell, it was almost every pass.
Yeah. And also, they did such a good job that they did what Nick Caley and D'Amico talked about. Man, we can't be in third and nine and third and They did so good. Also up front early in downs, the offensive line, that they weren't in those situations, not in obvious passing situations. But to be honest, which it didn't matter. If CJ got up there and said, "Hey man, we're running a pass. This route's gonna be a wheel route coming out of the back, going slants right here. We got a go route." It didn't matter, man. They were able to protect for CJ Stroud and do whatever they wanted. All right, let's do a little weekend's best, weekend's worst. A lot happened over the weekend. We had college football rolling at full effect on Saturday. We had the baseball playoffs rolling. The NFL, obviously, a lot going on. WNBA finals, a lot going on. Weekend's worst, weekend's best. That's coming up next.